Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
He's got all the insight of what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
All right, and welcome back in for hour number two here at Sports Daily. Glad to be with you on a Thursday, and that means at 10 o'clock we talk to our buddy Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com. Fitz, calm before the storm continues here as we get ready for football camp. We get ready for overreactions to the minimal amount of information and video we get from practice. We were laughing at the office yesterday at, I guess, a video was out there of an Avery Johnson miss on a screen pass, which of course KU fans had a lot of fun with. But like, why do we do this to ourselves? Like, and I get it, we're all looking for content, right? But sometimes, like, what we take away from practice, the same way the NFL and training camp and all this stuff, we need real games. All of us do badly at this point.
I sometimes feel like we're doing a movie review from the trailer.
Yeah,
we do see little snippets of it. Kansas fans are fascinated with Avery not being able to pass the ball. And I'm here to tell you, those are false hopes. The kid can sling it pretty well. Will he make mistakes? Sure, everyone does. And he'll have a learning curve, but he can chuck it. I'm just intrigued to see what this team turns out to be. They're making some changes, some tweaks to how the system runs for them. And, particularly on the offensive side, because of the new skill set Avery and some of these guys, including Dylan Edwards, bring to the table. But defensively, they're adapting to some of the more heavy run formations in this conference that have evolved. You know, I love the natural evolution of football sometimes within conferences. You build your defense around speed to slow down spread, and all of a sudden everyone's running. You got to beef back up or find solutions to that. This conference evolves a lot more, I believe, than other conferences. I think the brands of the SEC and Big Ten are pretty set. But this conference moves around, and you got to be ready to adapt. And I'm seeing K-State attempt to do that, and we'll find out if it works actually on the field.
Do you think that there's a narrative that has kind of grown throughout the course of this offseason with all of the excitement surrounding the new look offense around the Wildcats that maybe the defense has been a little overlooked, or that they're not maybe getting the attention or respect that they deserve?
Absolutely. I think this could be an incredibly skilled defense for Kansas State. They've just got some, well, first of all, they got good returning players. They've got some sound pieces that will make them a solid defense. But some of these younger guys or new guys, in the case of Jordan Riley, one of the safeties who transfers in, the coaches are raving about him. The young defensive ends are catching everyone's attention. They've got some young linebackers, including Asa Newsome, back from a catastrophic knee injury early last season. They've just got really intriguing pieces, and now they're playing with some formations with four linemen in the game to battle back against some of these big tight end heavy offenses. And I want to see that in operation and what personnel they're using in what situations, because they're going to be able to have that flexibility.
Fitz, when we look at these things that might be getting overlooked, I keep going back to the offensive line. It kind of jumped into my brain again. Yes, it was either yesterday or the day before, we see reports out of Dallas that Cooper Beebe is very likely going to be their starting center. And I'm sure if you haven't seen, it's worth finding Cooper Beebe practicing long snaps with his mom in the front yard and her giving hard counts, and it's fantastic. But I think, at least for me, and I'll only speak for myself, you forget about, as we have all the flash of what we're excited about with K-State football, we forget that they had one of the best offensive linemen in the country for a long time, and he's gone. Are they going to be good on the line? Are they a total question on the line? Like, what is the expectation for that group?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a journey of discovery. Operating without Cooper is odd. I mean, he was just part of that line for 4 years, and I mean, the heart and soul of it, basically since his freshman year, so dominant. So yeah, there'll probably be some step back from where they were. There's no doubt about it. They've got some growing to do as a line, but they do return three guys that had starting experience, and they bring in Kilty from North Dakota, who was a starter there for many years. So they've got experience out there. Now they just need to mesh as an offensive line, kind of get their choreography down so they're not tripping over each other, which is so important with line play.
I want to go back to the defense here briefly, Fitz. And last week, I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, I asked you about the development of Connor Riley as the co-offensive coordinator. And, of course, Matt Wells coming in to work on that offense with him. But I think one of the major coaches that gets overlooked all the time is Joe Klanderman. And what he has done from a stability standpoint with that defense, there hasn't been turnovers with the defensive coordinator, since Chris Klieman, promoted Klanderman back in 2020. But I don't think it gets talked about. And it goes back to my point about, that defense overall, the unit being overlooked. In your assessment, what does Klanderman bring to that defense? What has he brought during his tenure at Kansas State?
Patient and reasoned leadership. He seems to help the defense adapt. When there are changes, they went to this three-man front. Now they're going to not abandon that. They're going to evolve back to having the ability to go to a four-man front, whether that's true four down or the fourth guy standing at the end of the line will remain to be seen. But he's an incredibly bright football mind. He is the closest as a, quote-unquote clone to Klieman, because literally, I mean, they were both safeties coaches. And you know what? Having a head coach that was a defensive coordinator, a really successful one, helps you out a lot. I mean, you get a lot of guidance, although Klieman does that with the offense too, but defense is his specialty. And I think we can recognize that Joe Klanderman knows how to spot talent on the recruiting trail, knows how to zero in on it. Guys that fit his system, not just athletes or great tacklers or defenders, people that fit the system and fit the locker room. And I have no doubt in my mind that Joe Klanderman's a head coach for someone sometime, whether that's, going off and leaving Manhattan or following Chris Klieman, we'll see.
What else have you seen in camp? I know it hasn't been, you guys have now had, since we talked last week, you've had more opportunities to talk to people, talk to coaches, are there any themes developing that surprise you from what we expected based on the access that you guys have gained?
I think when Buddy Wyatt tells me, I ask him, how deep is he at defensive end? He said, we've got a three deep and actually another guy. So we've got seven players I want to put out there on Saturdays, which he can't. So I think going into these first couple games, keeping an eye on defensive end is going to be a lot of fun. Who's playing? What situations are they playing? They've got, you know, three redshirt freshmen and a couple sophomores that are going to be in the mix. And it's going to be – that alone is probably the – outside of, you know, what goes on with Dylan Edwards and how are you going to use him, that's probably my most exciting, my most intriguing theme for this football team.
Fitz, one of the biggest question marks during this offseason has been what will the wide receiver room look like and who will be able to step up on the depth chart? And, you know, obviously Keegan Johnson coming in from Iowa, we talked about him, Jace Brown, and kind of the way he came on towards the end of last season. But I'm curious to know, we haven't really talked about Sterling Lockett, and it looks like at least in camp he's made an impact. Of course, he's got the family name. There are probably going to be lofty expectations long-term for a guy like Sterling Lockett. But is he somebody that can make an impact on this team this season?
I think so. He's going to have to earn it because there's a lot of good receivers. This is the best receiver room Chris Kleiman's had, period. He's had good receivers, but not necessarily the depth that can go five or six deep in that room. And this is it. And if Sterling can break into that, that's a pretty good sign that he's made progress. But I do want people to understand, yeah, he's a Lockett, but he doesn't have the speed, the raw speed of his older brother, Tyler. And he doesn't have the catch radius of his pops, Kevin. He's kind of in between all of that and might make him a less, I guess, spectacular playmaker, but still a really talented young man. It's taken him a while to get up to a weight to be able to play and kind of the physicality that's required even as a receiver at this level, but he's getting there. I think we'll see him in the return game at some point, if not at receiver, but I think the Lockett name of Oklahoma State count, I just love said, seriously, another Lockett. And I responded, don't tell him about the twins because Kevin's got two twins that are now in high school that are supposed to be something else. I, as far as I know, that'll be the end of Lockett's until we get Tyler busy. It's going to have to be like an requirement. Tyler needs to start making children. We'll take females too. And you know, Tyler, just do what you can, man. Get out there and do it for the team.
And continue the bloodline.
Yes,
for sure. Big 12 football, Tim Fitzgerald at Life of Fitz, gopowercut.com publisher. Big 12 football, as we look at this thing holistically, we did a little of this last week with you, but we've been talking about it this week as we've gotten the polls now. We got the AP poll. No surprises there. Feels pretty fair and accurate, I think, for K-State and KU. What do you? How difficult is it going to be? I think the goal for the Big 12 is to get two teams in, but the problem the Big 12 is going to have is if it's historically it's been about two losses or fewer, there has been a year where it was where some three loss teams would have in theory been in or been right on the cut line. It's I don't know if I can envision two teams in the Big 12 with two or fewer losses this year. It's going to be really interesting to watch the committee's approach on this now with 12 teams because they'll have to think about strength of schedule, the difficulty of the league, and maybe some of the more top heavy. Because even if you put two in from the Big 12 and two in from the ACC and you're one, you know, best of, you know, the rest, that still leaves seven spots for the other two leagues. So I just wonder if the committee is, are they going to weight everybody the same as they have before, or they will they feel some obligation to try to take a look at how difficult the schedule was or how competitive a conference was top to bottom?
Yeah. I think the human element, you know, we talk about computer rankings. Well, someone's got to plug in the algorithm and the starting numbers and give value to something to start with. And I think that's going to hurt the Big 12 in terms of the perception that they need to overcome. The question becomes, is this the fourth team or even the fifth team in the SEC better than the second team in the Big 12? And I promise saying yes to that, guys. I really do. But, Jacob, back to your initial point, this conference is so competitive. It's a bunch of cannibals, and they're going to eat each other. And, you know, you easily could be a three-loss team in Arlington to play for the championship.
Totally.
And in that reflection, you almost want what happened in 22 to happen. You want an obvious team that's a playoff team losing in the Big 12 title game, so you get the automatic bid, and heck, would the Big 12 get a second team in a 12-team playoff? They got it. They got their second-place team in a 4-team playoff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's tangible. But I'm of the belief that maybe we'll get some separation that we haven't seen in the Big 12 simply because 16 schools means you've got really unbalanced schedules. Some schedules will be easier than others.
But does it mean one team, and this is the other part that I keep wondering about, does it mean one team kind of has to run the table and then lose the Big 12 championship game? I mean, is that the only path in?
No, I mean, because, for example, Kansas State and Utah don't play each other. They don't hand each other a loss somewhere along the way. You could have a 12-0 team playing an 11-1 team in a championship or two 12-0
teams. Well, sure, yeah. I just don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone. Yeah, it does, because this conference has that history of, hey, I know we're perceived as lower half of the conference, but today we're going to be like a top 10 team. I mean, that's just kind of how the Big 12 has rolled for many years. Some of these teams are wildly talented, and when they put it together, they snap up and bite you on the butt on a Saturday. And that's pretty regular way of doing business in this conference. And that's why this makes this the most entertaining football conference in the country. Every game, well, hell, the stat was over the last 8 of the last 9 years, excluding that pandemic season, 50%, just a hair under 50% of the Big 12 in-conference games have been decided by a score or less. I mean, guys, that's incredibly volatile in who's moving up and down.
Fitz, you mentioned the unbalanced schedule, and you know, that's been something that I've been trying to wrap my head around for a while, and I know that the Big 12 did this a long time ago, and you had the different divisions and all of that in the Big 12, but for a while, it's been balanced for the conference. It won't be this season. That's going to obviously play a factor, whether you're talking about the actual conference standings, but specifically with the college football playoff, as they're trying to, once we get to the end of the regular season, assess who will be one of those 12 teams. I mean, how much do you think, as far as a strength of schedule scenario, that could ultimately hurt or harm some of these teams that are trying to get in?
Honestly, Tommy, I don't know, because you know, this is literally our first rodeo as a 16-team alignment, but it could. I mean, we could see some teams with three losses that played a much tougher schedule. Who was I talking to? Was it BYU? We're doing these really fun fall camp reports with all 16 schools on our Big 12 Insiders channel, and I recorded last night with our BYU friend, Jeff Hansen, and you know, he pointed out that they have Utah, Arizona, Kansas State, and Kansas on their schedule. It's probably the four best teams in the conference. I'm not sure on Iowa State. I might put them up there too. But that's just brutal, particularly with Kalani Sitake fighting to keep a job. There's a lot of chance mixed in here with how good your schedules are.
All right, Fitz, what do you guys have going at Go Power Cat? We're what? I don't know, like 15, 2 weeks-ish, a little more than 2 weeks away from the start of the regular season. So what can we find?
We're really cranking it up. And the more we get to football season, we have had so many interview videos and content out of that. The availability has been tremendous. I think the biggest news right now at Go Power Cat is, as of today, Ryan Gilbert, who's been with me a couple years, comes on full time as my right-hand man.
Awesome.
And he's going to do a terrific job. I think people will really love his content. He's done a great job as a mostly full-time bartender, part-time writer, which is a really incredible mix. It's handy to have a bartender on your staff.
That's always been, that was my dream when I was growing up. That's what I wanted to do.
I mean, he could move to Vegas and make a living at it, but he wants to be in sports, which probably makes less money than bartenders, or it will for him immediately.
Yeah, Fitz, there's no doubt about that part of the equation.
Yeah, so welcome to the sports journalism world, Gills. It's like a step above poverty, and you get jealous of teachers because they're paid so well.
And they don't work in the summer.
I know. I know, and apparently we're going to have to work every summer with conference realignment. The world is full of injustices, Ryan Gilbert, and now you're part of that system. You're screwed, man. You're just screwed.
Go PowerCat.com. Find all that work. Congrats to Ryan Gilbert, who's hopped on with us a couple of times in your stead. Does a great job. At Life of Fitz on social media. All the best for K-State you can find with Fitz. We'll do it again next week, and we'll be – man, we're going to be so close. I'm done with the waiting. I'm over it. Let's get to the real deal here.
Sorry if I look tired. I was up late texting with friends. Yeah. They were annoying, a couple of annoying
making jokes last night. All right, Fitz, we'll see you.
Thanks, boys.
Jokes not safe for air, we will call it, as we were going through some things last night. All right. Tommy, we get news on the Chiefs starters. Breaking. It's broken. We'll try to put it back together and tell you what the plan is for the Chiefs starters. Andy Reid gave that insight today. We'll have that next for you on Sports Daily.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Claster, Tommy Claster, glad to be back with you.
Start that over. Why don't we start at the beginning and go back?
Jacob Albrock, Tommy Claster, glad to be back with you here on the program. The IHOP hotline is back open now for you, 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP, and it's all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. Let's talk a little football and all the football coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We get Chiefs starter news, Tommy. As we sort of bring it out into the universe, we get the information. As we wondered about it with the Juwan Taylor injury, Andy Reid talks, and the plan is, as it always has been in the new three-game system, for the starters to play through the first half on Saturday against the Lions. Now, that doesn't surprise me, and I sort of anticipated that, but what we really need to see is how much do they actually play? You know what I mean? Like, is it – and I think it's – I don't put myself in the business of second guessing Andy Reid's strategy for coaching in this way for preparing his teams, because, and I say that not just to be like dismissive of it, but because his teams work so many things now offensively to be able to use and do things late in a season. We've seen enough of it now to know that they're always setting something up. They're always working to get to something they would plan on using way down the line, and you can go back to sound for history from Patrick Mahomes being like, yeah, we started working on that in training camp or whatever it is on big plays that have happened. But what will also not surprise me if is Andy Reid quickly abandons that plan. So he says they'll play through the first half, but the reality is if they get 3-4 possessions and he works through what he wants to work through, he's going to yank them before halftime. If they don't get there, they may very well play all the way to half. That's sort of how he's always done it, and that's what we'd expect. But I would tell you, watch that offensive line. If they don't have a unit out there that they feel like is they're comfortable with protecting Patrick Mahomes, I would imagine he comes out a little earlier than planned.
Yeah, this makes me nervous, and you know I don't like second guessing Andy Reid, and I know that this is what he's done in the past, especially with the 3-game preseason set. It makes me nervous because of the injuries that we've seen, and I'm not even talking really specifically about the Hollywood Brown injury, but right. With everything else that's going on, you've got Wanya Morris, you know, on the shelf for right now. You've got Juwan Taylor. Don't know the severity of that injury, so there's a lack of depth already at offensive line, which of course you would think will impact Patrick Mahomes and not having as much protection or as good of protection, you know, as he would have with both of those guys available and healthy. So that is something that concerns me. I'm going to be crossing my fingers. I think that this preseason game for me changes from me being excited to watch the Chiefs play to me watching with bated breath. And I just want to see these guys get through the first couple of possessions and get on the bench because it makes me nervous.
That's how I always feel about the preseason and training camp, for that matter, because we've seen more injuries in training camp than we have in the preseason game that has been played by far, right? We see training camp injuries every day. And this happens every year. There is no good answer for it. And of course, it's not a black and white issue. It's a gray area issue. The reality is Kingsley Suamataia needs reps at left tackle. If he is going to start the season as the Chiefs left tackle, as it appears that he will, he needs game reps.
Well, he's not going to have a choice if Wanya Morris continues, right, you know, to be so injured.
But what I mean is, like, certain players need it more than others. So it's all like, it is this, there's no perfect answer, because you need some of your people that are maybe moving positions or being asked to do something to get these reps in. But in order to get a true representation, you kind of need them to get the reps with the other start. So it's all like, just hold your breath, right? Like, there's no correct answer. Some teams just shut it all down and don't play their starters. That's their prerogative. Andy Reid doesn't want to do that. And I always go back to, again, the injury risk is just as high to me in training camp. Not so much normal practice, I don't think, but in training camp, at some point you have to practice at full speed. You have to play the game at full speed. That's why we see a lot of injuries in training camp, because that's what's happening. They don't practice like that in the regular season. So you got to just get through it and hold your breath. I'll be very curious to see it, because if when we see this, it makes me think Wanya Morris might play. It makes me think certainly Juwan Taylor would play. It's okay. Like, I don't want to also take all the
other thing, like, to keep,
I want to see Xavier Worthy play. You want to see all these things.
Just keep this in mind also, that we focused on Wanya Morris and the injury that he suffered today. Yesterday and today, it's been Juwan Taylor and his injury. Joe Tooney is, by all accounts, not 100% either. I mean, he's been working his way back from the injury that, you know, basically sidelined him for most of the offseason. So he's, I think, presumably not 100% right now either, trying to get back to game speed. So you've got an offensive line that is really, really banged up. Outside of Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, the presumed starting offensive line, Wanya Morris, I'm kind of putting in there because he split those reps early on with Suamataia. But there are a lot of injury issues with the offensive line.
I'm going to give you a prediction. 3 series for the starters. However long that takes, I think we'll get 3 series.
Are you good with that? Like, do you like that? Are you okay with it? I mean, I think you probably are.
If you're asking, what do you mean, from a preparation standpoint or from an injury risk standpoint?
Just is it the right thing to do? Just generally speaking, to play the starters so, 3 series.
I will say what I always say. I think they need to get the reps in for as much as their coaches feel like they need to get the reps in. I think if the players weren't comfortable with it, we're to a point in the NFL where they could make that clear, and it would probably be well received. But generally speaking, with this part of it, there are some coaches who are not good at this, right? Who are not good at being head coaches. Andy Reid is not one of them. He is a Hall of Famer in the conversation for the best that's ever done it. So I'm comfortable with, from a playing perspective, comfortable with whatever the coaching staff says, we need these reps. Now, from an injury risk perspective, here's where I probably differ, but not, it's, you usually get about a 50-50 split on this. I just inherently think the injury risk is very high in the NFL. And until somebody can show me that there are more injuries in preseason games than in training camp practices, I think it's irrelevant. I think the injury risk is just really high this time of year in general. So I don't think it matters as much as we want to think it matters, right? I think it's you're risking injury by going hard at training camp. Now, some of that gets mitigated, really, and that's the point here, I think. After training camp, which ends today, you have this game, and then that's kind of it for this intensive preparation. And then you can really cool it. So, you know, once you get to that, it's camp.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're, the thing is, like, if you're worried about an injury risk, which is an okay thing to be worried about, don't just shut them down in the preseason game, shut them down in training camp. Just be shut down until the season starts altogether.
I do think that you have to weigh the importance of the risk of injury versus the preparation benefit. You have to weigh that.
Well, sure.
I'm not saying that preparation isn't important. It absolutely is. But I'm not sure that in this, it's a case-by-case basis. Each team is going to be different with the personnel that they have. And I'm only talking offensively for Kansas City. When you're looking at the starters only, I don't believe that the potential benefit of additional preparation and reps outweighs the potential risk of the injury. Because if you look at just, I'm talking simply the starters. I'm not going further down the depth chart, but simply the starters that the Chiefs have. There are two starters out of that offense that didn't play with the team last year. Xavier Worthy and Kingsley Suamataya. That's it. There are not free agents that are there, because I'm not counting Hollywood Brown. He's not going to play regardless. So there are two starters offensively that are unfamiliar with that offense out of the 11 guys on the field.
I agree with that, but there are a lot more than that being asked to do different things, which I do think is also a little bit important. So, like, for instance, if Wanya Morris were to play, he's probably going to be asked to do something he wasn't asked to do last year. If, you know, Rashee Rice, I think you have repetition. His role goes unchanged, most likely. Travis Kelce goes unchanged. All the other receivers,
Isaiah Pacheco, even the guys, unchanged, I think.
Yeah, Isaiah, I you want to talk about, if I will give you my line in the sand, I would not let Isaiah Pacheco touch the field in the preseason. Period, full stop. That won't do that, but that's just me. Now, you might want him in there for pass pro, just to be safe for Patrick Mahomes, but I would not play him because I don't think there's much he needs to go. The running backs, that's why we see rookies succeed so often as running backs, at least from what I've always heard from.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Evaluators and executives, when they get out of the game, is because it doesn't change all that much for a running back outside of pass protection. What they do is pretty similar to what they've always done. But for these receivers, even if you look at Kadarius Toney, who's been hurt anyway, he's being asked to do something different. Sky Moore's playing for a job, I mean, and I don't know what the exact depth
issue,
chart is.
I don't have an issue with that. I mean, Kadarius Toney, I think more than anybody else, has to show quite a bit to
needs
be able
the reps,
to,
right?
to
he get. Needs the reps.
Yeah, so I'm not arguing that. I'm simply talking about the starters that Andy Reid said that they were going
the
to be playing
because
in the first
right
half.
Now we feel like Justin Watson's going to be a starter, right? So does he not play now? Which I could make a case for.
Yeah, I mean,
because he's going to be a starter most likely at least in week one.
But he's got familiarity with the offense. They might be asking him to do a different role or step up or whatever.
No, but I mean,
he's got familiarity with the offense.
Of him now as
here's
a
another,
starter.
Here's
so
another example. I would have no problem at all if the Atlanta Falcons in the preseason said, we've got to play Kirk Cousins and that offense a lot in the preseason because it's a brand new quarterback, a brand new offense, brand new coach, all of those things. We need the reps before the regular season. And whatever those risks are injury-wise, that probably that doesn't, you know, outweigh the necessary preparation that we need to have offensively to get this unit to gel. The Chiefs offense, by and large, the starters gel. There's been continuity in the offensive coordinator. There's continuity in the quarterback. The majority of the wide receivers, especially now that Hollywood Brown is hurt, outside of Xavier Worthy, all of those wide receivers that are probably going to be playing have been a part of camp before. They've been a part of that offense, even going down the depth chart. Like, you go all the way, I mean, even past, like, Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney, you know, those other guys that are, Justin Ross has been a part of the team before. Watson's been a part of the team. Like, they all have. Denerick Prince, the third string running back, has been a part of the team. There's so much continuity that I really don't think that you've got a whole lot of rust there. I don't think that the risk of injury outweighs that.
I agree with that. And I think this is what I mean. Every situation is different. Every team is different. I will say, though, and I have predicted this and I'll stick to it, I do think the offense will look completely different than it has the last 2 years.
It might.
I think it very well might. I think it will feel like an entirely different.
It might be different.
So, again, I don't think they're going to end up playing more than three series, whether it's first half, whether it's first quarter, whether it's whatever. But it's all black and white. I mean, it's not black and white, I should say. It's all gray area. Kingsley Suamataya needs as many reps as he can get. He has got to protect your quarterback's blind side, you would think, now for the entire season. He needs to be out there. There's a trickle effect. If he's going to be out there, you'd like him to be working with the group he's going to be working with in the regular season to get a true representation of what he's going to be asked to do. So that's what it's an impossible equation. If you play your left tackle that's never done it, you'd like to have the other guys he's going to be working with in there, right? You'd like to have, so he can learn Patrick Mahomes' movements in the pockets and feel those things in a game, so he can know if he's going to need to bail out or what another guy next to him style is. Like, all of that stuff goes into it. So the point for me is there is absolutely no perfect equation to this. I don't think there's a great way to do it other than universally cut the amount of preseason games that there are, so everybody's got the same, you know, starting playing field, every team, and then you just cut it back that way. But again, and I really don't know this, but I would be stunned if there is anything but a marginal difference in the number of injuries in a preseason game versus a training camp practice. I think it's about the same. That's a guess. I don't have that information, but I would guess that. So I think for me in general, when I get to this time of year, July and into August, it is a hold your breath situation, but there is injury in football, and it can come anytime. And it's just when you're in training camp and playing preseason games, it's going to be there no matter what. So you hope for the best, and I do hope for the best, but that is the information we get today. Andy Reid says first half, which is what they always, well, at least what he always says in the three game scenario. I'll bet you they don't. I would put money on that. I'll bet you they don't play in the entire first half. And if they do, we hold our breath and we hope for no serious injury. Look, I mean, the reality is, Ty, if you come out of the preseason and the Hollywood Brown thing is the worst thing that has happened to your team, and this is what kind of sucks and why injuries are the worst, you haven't had a bad, you know, preseason, offseason, whatever. Look at the Vikings. Lordy.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's.
But that by all accounts, they don't even know when that happened. They think that may have happened in practice. So it's like, I don't know. You gotta just try to get here. We can't get to the regular season soon enough, or really after Saturday, because I think they'll tone it way down after Saturday across the board. We'll all be watching left tackle, I think, more than anything else. And hopefully Juwan Taylor and Wanya Morris can get in there too. But that game is Saturday. It'll come right here on the Odyssey family. Want to come back? We will talk. Did you see the idea for Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers and who he has offered to be he's offered to be a coach on his staff? It's really interesting. And I don't get into this wormhole very often, but I am intrigued by this. We'll get into that next on Sports Daily.
95 and 1240 KFH.
All right, there you go, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you. If you can't listen to us on the air here on KFH, you can always listen with the Odyssey app. Just download the app or visit odyssey.com and search for KFH. Here's a cool feature that I didn't know about that we were looking at this morning that we learned about Tommy. So if you go to the Odyssey app and you download and you listen to the show that way, you get a really cool thing right there on the home screen when you go to this. There's a little microphone on there. Now, apparently that allows people, you can hit that and you can leave like a voice message that would go to Jad, and then Jad would have the ability to take that voice message out over the air. So as we always talk about the interactivity of this program, there are lots of ways you can do it. You can go the old fashioned way and call the IHOP hotline 869-1240. You can go the way a lot of our great listeners do, which is to leave your comments on some of our video streams. You can do that through the Facebook, the YouTube, and the X streams. We have comments right now. Anthony's been interacting with us on Facebook, Ken on YouTube. So you can do that as well. You can also watch on 12 News Connected and just send us a message on social media or email us. But so what this would do is, if you want to like get your thought out and have a call, essentially, without being able to call live, just hit that thing, give us a little voice message and send it. And then we can either, Jad can either listen to that and relay the message to us, or I think, Tommy, we can just take those straight over the air. It's almost like a voicemail the show.
Yeah, the funny thing about that is that if you want to do it that way, and I think people probably should and try that out, we don't have the opportunity to like tell you that you're wrong. Like, I wouldn't be able to tell you that you're wrong while you're talking to me live. Like, of course, we'd be able to listen to it back and let you know, but not that you would be wrong. But I'm just saying, like, you can kind of avoid that live, you know, interaction in that way. If you don't really want to call in or whatever, you can just leave that message. We'll get it right away. That cool little interactivity there, I think, makes things a lot better, a lot more fun. The cool thing about it is all these different ways to interact with us on the show. There's no reason why you shouldn't. And you can either do it live on the phone, you can do it online. There are really cool ways. And now with the Odyssey app, with that talkback feature, that's pretty awesome.
We love it. So try it out. Give it a test run, somebody, and we'll do it. All right, Tommy, last little story here that it piqued our interest. Jim Harbaugh says he's offered a job to Colin Kaepernick as a coach on his staff. I guess smart idea. Nobody's gotten the best out of Colin Kaepernick like Jim Harbaugh. He obviously loved everything about him. He took a big risk bringing him in. Alex Smith, the first time Alex Smith sort of got pushed away. And they put it all on the line and he took him to a Super Bowl. They didn't win it, but he took him to a Super Bowl. Jim Harbaugh knows Colin Kaepernick and knows his skill set well. So it doesn't surprise me that he would do this. I think it's, you know, so I got no issue with it. But the more I see of Harbaugh, we had something on K-Witch, I'm anchoring a show and we'll get snippets from the national network to kind of promote their CBS NFL on CBS coverage. And we ran a soundbite yesterday from Jim Nance, and he was asked like, who does he think could, you know, surprise or whatever. He's pretty fired up about the Chargers and thinks they're going to do something. Now, we've seen the Justin Herbert injury, but I've kind of getting the same feel. I think this Harbaugh thing is going to work, Tommy. Now, I don't know if it works like immediately this year. We'll see what Justin Herbert's thing is, and they have like nothing at wide receiver anymore. But in general terms, I think this is going to work. I think it's going to be the right fit, and they're going to be, you know, very relevant again, maybe as soon as this year, but in the near future for sure.
Yeah, I don't doubt Jim Harbaugh and his abilities. I doubt the Chargers.
Especially when he's got Herbert.
I doubt the Chargers organization. And that's right, just to fool me once, you know, shame on you,
but
fool me twice, shame on me.
But doesn't Harbaugh get bigger? Isn't he one of those coaches that sort of gets bigger than that? You know what I mean? Like if you've had, you know, if you've had struggles and failures at an organization, that's one thing. But Harbaugh's the kind of guy that gets a little bigger. It's like when the Cowboys brought in Bill Parcells to some degree. They've sort of like teetered around and they couldn't quite get it right. They were organizationally making a lot of bad decisions. Then Bill Parcells comes in and really gets things stabilized for the organization. It kind of feels like that to me.
I certainly think it helps. I mean, you know, just looking at what he's done over the course of his career, turned Michigan into a national champion, took the 49ers to a Super Bowl, you know, turned around Stanford, who they've been completely irrelevant ever since he left for the most part. So, yeah, like Harbaugh has that ability to do that. I don't doubt him at all. I think people give him a hard time because he's quirky and he says weird things and acts weird in, you know, sometimes. And then, of course, all the Michigan drama and the way he left, that doesn't help the situation either.
But from a
football IQ and team building, culture building standpoint, Harbaugh is one of, if not the best, that's done it in probably this generation. So I do think that ability is there. And so that's the best thing that the Chargers absolutely could have done was land Jim Harbaugh. I just have to see it to believe it because know the organization that he's going into, and they always have overpromised and underdelivered. Always.
And I will say, as somebody who has observed them very closely, there was about an 8-7 or 8, and they are, you went to about snake bitten with injury. And that could trickle down into organizational with, you know, their ability and their team doctors. I have no idea. But
well, there's been a lot of controversy with their team doctors over the years, too. So
injuries, my Lord, because my wife is a Chargers fan and less so now, but used to be like we didn't miss a game and like just snake bit. And recently snake bitten by some of the worst in-game head coaching I've ever seen, 2 in a row. So we'll see. I think generally speaking, they got it right. And, you know, I am curious about that. I say this all the time. I want great quarterback play. I want Justin Herbert to be as great as he can be.
Got
to
be healthy.
You got to be healthy, right. And I think Harbaugh can help him otherwise. All right, we'll come back. We'll get you teed up for the day on the network when we wrap up Sports Daily right after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.